All right. How was everyone? Full? Yeah, well, I figured that's a good thing. Well, before we get started, I was going to take a minute to thank two people. One of them's really peoples. But thank everyone for the food and all the preparation. I know there was a lot of preparation involved, and I'm always afraid to name the names with something like that because invariably I'll leave someone off. So thank everyone's who was participated in such, we appreciate it. And the other one is Brian. Brian, we thank you for your service to the Lord and to the church. Brian has served long before I came here, but I think 6 years, was I right? And we appreciate it, Brian, doing a great job, and we appreciate you very much. We're going to open with prayer, and then I'm going to do about a 45 minute to an hour long devotion. That's how long mine are in the morning, so you might as well get used to it. I was going to say something, but I'm going to be quiet. But in all seriousness, I'm going to pray, and then we'll do a short devotion, and then I'm going to turn things over to Brian, okay? But let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for today, and Lord, as we saw earlier in our passage in Galatians, we come to you. Of course, you are God Almighty, but in your great graciousness, you allow us to be having the ability to call you Father. It's just amazing. But Lord, we do thank you today for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given to us. I thank you for those who have made all the preparations beforehand and all of that that comes with that. We also thank you for Brian and his service, not only to the church, but ultimately to you. And we do thank you for that. Lord, as we go to the time where we'll take a few minutes to look at this devotion, this particular passage of Paul's, we do thank you for your word. I pray that it speak to the mind in particular, but also penetrate the heart. And Lord, as we go later to discuss the business of the church, Lord, we remember that it is your church that you've purchased by your Son's own precious blood. And Father, I pray that we be reminded of that. And everything, Lord, when we finish and say and do, Lord, you would be pleased in all that we do. Lord, we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading not too long ago and I ran across this statement. It says, "No one would allow garbage at his table, but many allow it to be served into their minds." It made me stop and think because I wasn't expecting the quote or the statement, but what's the point of it? Well, the point of it is obvious. The point is what we allow into our minds eventually makes its way into our lives. So as we have things that come into our minds and our minds are saturated in certain things, that eventually leads to how we live our lives. So what goes into the mind, ultimately, if we aren't careful, will leave into our lives. And I thought about that with that quote because today, quite honestly, we have access to so many unhealthy things for the mind. You have the news, you have the media, you have social media, you have the internet, you have the television. You know, I feel like I'm getting older. Back in my day, we didn't have all that. But today, there is this inundated, if you will, monsoon of filth. And so many things that are ungodly that don't fit into the scripture. And of course, the question is, well, that's all great. Is there any help? Actually, there is. Paul was in prison, you know, many times, but in particular, Paul was in prison in what we call his prison epistles, and Paul provided to the church in Philippi various ways to maintain peace of mind. And it's in Philippians 4:8, and Paul addresses what basically is that what we allow into our minds inevitably is going to make its way into our lives. What we allow into the mind will eventually make its way into the feet, into the hands, if you will. I'm going to read this verse, and then I'm going to ask you to do the very thing that Paul says, which is to chew on his list of 8 things that we should be filling our minds with. And then this week, think, is that what I do? What is filling my mind? Because I can guarantee you what fills your mind during the week will eventually make its way into your life. Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, Whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." It's interesting, the word he uses in the end there, in the verse, and this is again, if you wanted to read it later, it's Philippians 4:8. He uses the word dwell. In the Greek, what it means is, very simply, this. It means to ponder, to think, but it means to chew on. How many of you are familiar with chewing on something? Probably just did. Right? What Paul says is, there is this list of 8 things that you need to ponder. You need to think on. You need to chew on. And these particular things are going to be different things than what we probably typically saturate our minds in. So what are these things? These are Paul's 8 things we should allow into our minds, and those things should be chewed on, meditated on, reflected on. In other words, in English, we should have these list of things in our mind all week long, not just on Sunday. Notice this 8 list of things. What is the very first one? Things that are true. That means things that are true, not false. That would mean, for example, that God's word is true. It has no falsity in it. And so we should be saturating our minds in the word of God because God's word is true. If we saturate our minds in the news and the internet and social media, it has a lot of filth in it. We should take that and replace that with God's word, and we should chew on it. The word meditate does not mean to empty the mind. That is a worldly teaching. To meditate does not mean to empty the mind. It means to fill the mind with God's word. So Paul starts off with filling the mind with that which is true, not false. He also says we should fill the mind in things that are honorable, not shameful. So he's speaking of their morality. Think of all the shameful things that our eyes probably unfortunately come across. It's almost inevitable today, isn't it? You turn on the TV and there's nothing but things that lack morality. He says, also, you should focus on things, in other words, chew on, meditate on things that are right, not sinful, not unjust. What Paul is saying is essentially, focus your mind on things that are righteous, those righteous things. And those things would be what? The things of God's word, the things of Christ, anything that would be something that would be, of course, right in God's sight. So the 3 are true, not false, things that are honorable, not shameful, things that are right, that are not sinful. The 4th one is pure and not coarse or impure. Our world today is filled with that, isn't it? Impurity and things that are coarse, that would be a coarse language, and those things that come. Eventually what happens is, my friends, the mind absorbs those things, and eventually they take root into our lives. And so Paul is warning us against those things. Then he says, 5th, things that are lovely rather than offensive and unpleasing. Lovely things would be what? The person and work of Jesus Christ. Fill your mind with Christ, and we can avoid things that are unpleasing. Notice the rest. He says, things that are commendable, not slanderous. I think today in our world today, there is so much slander, isn't there? You can't even watch the news hardly anymore because everyone's slandering this person. And when you turn to the other channel, what's happening? They're slandering the person that's slandering them. And if we allow those things into our mind, what are we doing? We're allowing the world to come into the mind. And when the world comes into the mind, it's going to eventually make its way into your hands, to your feet, into your daily walk. And so Paul warns against that. He says we should have our minds on things that are excellent, but then things that are what? Worthy of praise of God. If you test what you watch, read, listen to those 8 lists, I bet you would scrub out a lot of things you might not think. Notice what he says. We should focus on things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable, things excellent, and things that God would be seen as praiseworthy. The Nelson Study Bible says this. It says, by following Paul's advice, Christians can renew their minds so that they will not be conformed to the evil habits of this world. Amen. That is what Paul later writes of in Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve that what The will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What we allow into our minds is going to eventually make its way into the way we live. It will affect the way we talk, the way we live. And if you are allowing the things of this world, and the things of this world today are hard to escape, aren't they? Social media, the internet, and all of the filth that is out there. And Paul's warning to the Philippians is no different than ours is today. The exhortation is to remove those things and then replace them with what Paul says. But the thing about it and the reason why you should do it is very simply this. Paul says at the end of the exhortation that the peace of God would be with you. What Paul's point is, if you fill your mind with the Scripture, with Christ, and the things that fit into those categories, you would have peace of mind. You know why? Because you'd have the peace of God. And without those things, you're not going to have that peace that God wants us to have. I'm going to close with prayer, and then we're going to turn things over to Brian, and we'll have our annual meeting. But let's take a minute and let's pray. Our Father, and again, I thank you that we can call you Abba Father, not because of me or anything that we have done. Lord, as we saw this morning, we can call you Father Abba because of what your Son has done for us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us today to gather. I thank you for those who've prepared everything. We thank you for those who serve in so many ways in the church, Lord, but ultimately help us to remember that everything comes from you. Lord, I pray that your word and your word would speak to us, because your word tells us to be careful what we allow into our minds, because invariably and inevitably it will work its way into our lives in due time. Lord, the antidote to it is to fill the mind with the things that would please you. And those things that please you are not the things of the world, but the things of your Son, of your word, and ultimately all those things that would bring you glory. I pray that you would remove any of those things, those habits from us, so that we can focus on you and then ultimately have your peace with us. Lord, again, I pray that you be with us during this annual business meeting, and everything we do please you when we have finished. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.